So if you desire a life that receives the applause of heaven, make sure to obey and honor God. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant told us the story of a man by the name of B.M. Nottage, who rose out of humble beginnings to do a great work for God. Then Pastor Grant took us to the book of Numbers and the account of a man named Caleb. Caleb had been born a slave in Egypt. Nevertheless, despite his humble beginnings, when the children of Israel reacted in fear at the prospect of confronting the giants reported to be in the land, Caleb, acting in faith, announced for going forward. And though the congregation in the wilderness suffered the consequences of their faithlessness, Caleb earned for himself the favor of God. But Pastor Grant reminded us how this is more than a story, for sooner or later, every one of us will face giants that threaten our confidence. Tonight, we will be listening as Pastor Grant concludes this message entitled, Living the Extraordinary Life. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
And so look with me what Caleb said in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 30. Numbers 13, verse 30. And here's what he said. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, I know, we saw the giants, but the giant never saw my God. Oh, did you hear what I said? The giant never saw his God. He saw the giant. Listen, he knew. There, listen. Write this down. Caleb saw the giants, but he knew his God was bigger than any giant. Is your God bigger than your giant? If you're convinced that God is so awesome, why are you so quick to surrender? Why not trust God? Why not honor Him? Why not do what He wants you to do? Because our God, my Bible tells me, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Young people, while you're in school and you're dealing with the stuff, just remember that you have an incredible God. Now, let's make sure we understand this. Let's make sure we understand it. Living the extraordinary life or trusting God does not mean that God is always going to do what you want Him to do. God ain't your puppet. God ain't your butler. Some of us want a God who is a butler. Go get me a glass of water. God, I need a massage. Come scratch here. You want a God that just does what you want? Is that what you want? Or do you want a God, an omniscient God who knows everything? And who knows what's best for you? You know, one of the great stories I remember is the story of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, there's a book called The Hiding Place. And you know, a lot of times we're excited about reading about Corrie ten Boom, and rightly so, because she was one of those in the Nazi, under the Nazi terror campaign, where, and as a Christian, she was trying to help some of the Jews to escape, and they arrested her, and she was in concentration camp. And a miracle happened. God decided to release her, and He did another Red Sea deal. Can you imagine? So you didn't know these things still happen in today's world. The Red Sea stuff, it still happens. The Peter is locked up in jail, and he just walks out. It still happens. Corrie ten Boom is in Nazi camp. They have her locked up, locked down, guards everywhere. And Corrie ten Boom walked right out of the prison camp. Did you know that? She walked past all the guards. She walked past everybody. And God made nobody see her. The God that we're talking about is not a God from back there. You see, we think this God, he lost his power somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, he had a power cut. He hasn't lost any other power. The same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the same God today. And come on, church, he's not lost any of the power. He's still the same. He's still got all his power. And that power is available to every believer in Jesus Christ. But here is where we get messed up, particularly in this America. Somebody said to me this week, I won't call the name, but it was so profound. They said, our problem in America is we've never had to suffer very much for Christ. So if it rains, it's a very big inconvenience. I want to talk to you. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going there now since that's what the Lord puts me in my mind to say. What a disgrace it is that so many of us in this church, if it rains, we don't come to church. 2019 needs to be a different year. It needs to be a year of more commitment to Jesus, where I'm serious about Jesus. We are willing to take inconveniences for him. After all, you know if it rained, you'd have still gone to that job. You'd have still been at that bus stop if it rained. But no, you can't come to church. You can't come to celebrate and worship the God of glory, the God who has transformed your life. It's time we stop that nonsense. Oh, I know you. Some of you are going to be upset with me, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Amen. So let me get back to business. What was I talking about? I'm talking about Corrie ten Boom. Here is the part, and all of this is in my message, so praise God, you're getting this for free. Corrie ten Boom had a sister who was also in prison camp. You ever heard about her? She had a sister. And boy, I tell you, they abused her. They did so many things to her. Wouldn't feed her. She died. The same God of power let one walk out. And the same God of power makes one die. But do you know what? When I read the book, the biggest blessing to me was not Corrie ten Boom. It was the sister. Because she said, as she was dying, she said to her sister, I actually feel God's arms around me. I feel God carrying me. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, faith, it doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. But oh, God never leaves you. I heard somebody on Tuesday night say, listen, I was praying for all these things and I never got any of them. But God started to change my mind about things. And sometimes that's how God is working. God's power sometimes not only works by changing the situation. Sometimes his power is to change you. Because at the end of the day, which we're going to see at the end of the day, God is going to be glorified. And so my friend, God will change us. So Stephen, another freebie. Stephen, he loved Jesus. Acts of the Apostles. What did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to death. But God could have done something. I want you to understand what faith is. Faith is not some magic formula to get what I want. Faith accesses the power of God. And it accesses the power of God sometimes to change the situation, but sometimes to change you and to allow God's Holy Spirit to grab a hold of you and to comfort you so that in the tragedy, listen, Stephen is about to die and Stephen, his face is shining. Stephen is as excited as ever. And Stephen says, I see Jesus standing up. I was talking about getting the applause of heaven. Stephen says, I'm getting a standing ovation. Jesus Christ, who the Bible pictures as being seated at the right hand of God, when Stephen is going home, he says he ain't seated right now. Jesus is standing. And Stephen. even goes home, God had given him all the help and the strength that he needed to trust him and to walk with him and to live for him. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, no matter what drama you're going through, when you face that giant, grab a hold of God, because he is able. With 1,700 stores, J.C. Penney was one of the richest men in America. And I think just about everybody has heard of J.C. Penney. Some of you have spent your money there. But you know, during the Great Depression in the 1930s, his empire took some huge financial blows as a result of the intense stress he experienced. J.C. Penney had severe medical problems. He entered a sanitarium, and no matter what the doctors tried, they could not help him. His health just continued to go down until finally they called his family, because it was felt he would not live through the night. And so he told them goodbye, not expecting to ever wake up again. The next morning, to his surprise, he was still alive. And mustering all the strength he had, J.C. Penney found a way to get into the chapel that was at the sanitarium. He listened to them reading scriptures. He listened to them singing. And his life was transformed. As he said later, it's as if I was in a dark dungeon. And suddenly I was taken from this dark, cold dungeon and transported into brilliant sunlight. He said it was the most important 20 minutes of my life. You see, as J.C. Penney sat, he heard them sing, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you." And that day, J.C. Penney realized that God loved him and was there to help him.
In a few moments, we'll hear the conclusion of today's broadcast. But first, let me invite you to visit us this Sunday for a very important series on the family being taught by Pastor Grant. This series, entitled Secrets to a Happy Home, will provide practical instruction from God's Word designed to make our homes the places of joy and blessing God intended them to be. GCA is located in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia and is truly a church for all nations. So make plans to join us this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant shares with us Secrets to a Happy Home. Now let's rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
And my friend, I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's Word that no matter what giant you face, God will take care of you. Through every day, or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. God can be trusted. Oh, you're worried about the time. Don't worry. I'm going to skip the second point for the time being and come back to it next week. You can fill in the notes. We must develop the courage to stand alone. We must develop the courage to stand alone. We'll talk about that next week, God's willing, as one of the points that we'll raise. But thirdly and finally for today, we must never forget that sin always has consequences. We must never forget that sin always has consequences. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So let's take a look at what happened next. We got to follow this story, right? Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fail by the sword? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children," notice that, they're worrying about their children, our wives and our children should become victims, would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Who remembers what was Egypt? Would it not be better? I wonder how many of us want to go back to slavery. But that's what them folks are saying. Would it not be better for us to go back? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. This was blatant rebellion against God, and it was going to have some consequences. Well, so what were the consequences? Moses begged God, because Moses knew God was angry, and Moses begged God for mercy. But let's see what finally happened as we try to, chapter 14, verse 20. Are you there? All right, verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. So God pardoned them to some degree. I have pardoned at your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I don't want you to ever miss that. Sometimes we think it's all about us. You better get yourself together. If you keep being missed to somebody and miss somebody, you're going to get some trouble, because it's all about God. And he says, listen, all the world is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Verse 26, and the Lord spoke to Moses and said, and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with these evil people who complain against me? I have heard the complaints. Listen, when you're just griping and griping and griping, it ain't making God so happy. I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. You hear what he's saying? Everybody 20 and over going to be dead in the wilderness. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, the little ones you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Can you imagine these people? The promised land was the objective. This is where what they were journeying for. This is what they were journeying with all these high expectations, to occupy this land flowing with milk and honey. They were almost there. But because of sin, only Caleb and Joshua would make it. Don't miss this. There is incredible blessing when we obey and follow God. I don't want you to miss that part. There is incredible blessing. Young person, older person, get it into your cranium. There is incredible blessing when we obey and follow God. So if you desire a life that receives the applause of heaven, make sure to obey and honor God. Amen? Amen. Caleb and Joshua would enter the promised land, but every other adult would wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine that? 40 long years. You are right at the brink, and you're wandering round and round for 40 years. And during that 40-year period, everybody over 20 died. Except these two. Well, I can hear your questions. I thought that when we sin, once we ask for forgiveness, everything is okay. Didn't Jesus say, did the Bible say, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? And that is true. You see, once you confess, and some of you need to do that this morning, once we confess, our relationship issue is resolved. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Relationally, we are forgiven. But it does not mean the consequences are resolved. Oh, come on now. If when you're out in the world and you were a bad boy and you decide to go rob that store and they chopped off your hand, do you think when you come to Jesus right here, all of us are going to just see your hand grow back? It ain't going to happen. There is still consequences. And my friend, the consequences of sin can be very, very tough. Can be very, very tough. And so this morning I'm going to encourage you as we wrap this message up. I want us to realize we can't play with sin. Sin has consequences. And we can't play with sin. And God wants to talk, is talking to somebody here this morning, because I believe there's somebody who is a Christian and you're sort of half-stepping. You have one foot in and one foot out. Some of us are still thinking about, oh boy, you ran into some problems in your Christian life and immediately you start thinking about Egypt. You start thinking about the good times you used to have. You need to come to God this morning. You need to talk to Him. You may not be saved. You need to come to Him. A lady was driving on the expressway and there was a big truck behind her. And the truck was so close, it made her uncomfortable. So she speeded up. But as she sped up, the truck sped up too. And the faster she went, the faster the truck went. So she decided she better come off of the expressway. So she did. She came off the expressway, the truck did. So now that she was down on city streets, she decided to take one of the busy city streets because she figured she could get him lost in the traffic. So she turned onto a busy street. The guy ran the red light and followed her. Oh my goodness, she was so panicked now. She pulled into a gas station, and she pulled in the gas station. She opened her car door. She jumped out and screaming, "Help, help, help." The truck driver pulled in right behind her. He jumped out of his truck. He ran to her car. He opened her door, and he grabbed a man that was hiding behind the seat, and he yanked him out. There was a would-be rapist in the car. You see, he was sitting so high up, he could look and see what was going on. He wasn't pursuing her to harm her. He was pursuing her to save her. God has been pursuing some of you. And some of you have been running, running, running. God is not pursuing you to harm you. Young person, He's not trying to steal your joy. He's trying to give you a life that's extraordinary. Some of you this morning, you're not yet saved. You need to come to Him. Because here's the reality. The Bible tells us that God will not pursue you forever. But today, while the Spirit of God speaks to you, today you need to say to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. I have heard your voice today. Thank you for pursuing me. I want to be saved today." Boy, I tell you, if you're willing to do that, He'll save you. And my friend, if you're here this morning, He's pursuing some of us because we're not doing what we ought to. Unless God pursues you, I pray you will respond. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.